Okay, welcome to all of you. It's going to be the very last session at the Introduction to Corporate Communication. I'm having a bit of a sore throat, so I hope my voice will last until the end of the lecture today, but let's see how it goes. Anyhow, it's going to be our last session. I'm going to talk a bit about the specialist areas in corporate communication with you. I would say mostly focusing on the chapters 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13 in the Corneliusen book. So I'm going to briefly introduce the different specialist areas in the field. So it's going to be media relations, employee communication, issues management, crisis communication, leadership and change communication, CSR and community relations communication, and then IR, or also known as investor relations. Also, I'm going to talk with you about the latest research insights. So I'm going to show you some of the results from the European Communication Monitor research from 2023, and also interesting research done by Procom about the communication field in Finland in 2021. I'm also going to give you a quick overview on the corporate communication courses available at JSP if you're interested to continue your studies in the field of corporate communication. What do we offer, both at the intermediate and master level? And then I'm also going to tell you some information concerning the upcoming final exam of the course. And if you have any questions concerning the exam, you can obviously ask from me. I think the most important information and instructions concerning the registration and stuff like that should be found from Moodle and from the student guide. But again, if you have any questions, feel free to ask. Yes, so we can start off with the specialist areas in the field of corporate communication. And obviously, at this point of the course, I think you already have a quite good overview what corporate communication is all about. We've been talking about the main concepts or main topics within the field. But it's also important to understand the different specialist areas that goes underneath corporate communication. And maybe we can start off with the media relations. And usually, the media relations is basically the function of or process of gaining positive media attention and coverage for the organization. And it involves managing the communication and relationships with the media. And of course, nowadays, media is not only the traditional media, it's also the new media environments I've been talking about with you in the previous lectures. Nowadays, still, the news media is considered as an important channel for generating publicity. So it's kind of important to understand for the corporate communication professionals how to deal with the, let's say, news media and how the interaction with the news media works between the organization and the media outlets. And it is also important to understand the distinction between journalists and news routines for the CC professionals, because it kind of illustrates the variety of influences on the production of news content. And it also points the limited degree of control that journalists have on the whole publication process. So by understanding this, even though corporate communication professionals, they would like to get certain messages out in news media, and they can do that by interacting with the journalists, but they can only manage it to some extent because the journalists itself, they don't have too much control over the publication process. And on the other hand, the news media coverage that the organization is getting, they basically have very limited control over it. However, it's very important to understand you know, this interaction between the organizations and media relations and also understand the journalistic processes and how it kind of affects the media coverage of an organization. Of course, when we talk about, let's say, some small company or organization, it might be so that they are never covered in any media outlet, but if it's going to be some bigger organization, let's say a publicly listed company, for example, it's almost guaranteed that at some point there is going to be some media coverage for those organizations. So overall, it's important to understand this media relations aspects in the communication sphere of organizations. Another specialist area, and this goes more if media relations is more this kind of an external communication, at least to some extent, employee communication is more or less internal. And it's been traditionally defined as communication with employees internal to organization. And this usually means that the organizations, they must find ways to meet their employees' individual needs and stimulate their creativity. And this is, when we are now in 2024, this is getting more and more important so that the organizations are able to take care of the well-being of their employees. And of course, communication works within that area as well. It will help. Or it could go get things to the wrong direction as well in terms of if the needs and creativity demands are not met. And obviously, at the same time, the organization should be able to persuade the employees to act in ways that they meet the organization's overall objectives. So that's why this kind of an employee communication perspective is important. Nowadays, when we look at different kind of organizations, whether it's business organization or a public sector organization, this kind of an internal communication or employee communication is also more technology mediated as well. So I think when you talk about internal communication, it also means that you have to be able to perform the communication in various arenas using various platforms and you know, technological tools as well. And this kind of shapes the whole communication sphere that is internal for organizations as well. And from the corporate communication professional perspective, this is also something that needs to be taken into consideration when thinking about employee communication. And internal communication overall is more or less, you know, happening in these technology-mediated environments as well, and more nowadays than before. Then something about issues management as a specialist field, and I'm going to follow up with crisis communication after that, but the reason why I'm talking about issues management and also crisis communication is that issues management is kind of this proactive attempt to identify and control issues in order to maybe limit damage to the organization's reputation. And when we compare it to the crisis communication or crisis management, it is more reactive response to some sort of crisis that have already happened. So this kind of proactive and reactive approach differentiates issues management from crisis communication. And why issues management is so important is because we are now in a so-called risk society, and it basically has created this emphasis on health and safety, different environmental concerns, security and terrorism, and financial risk and regulation. And okay, once again, if there's some company that is a bit bigger than some other, it might be so that this kind of risk society approach is more likely to happen. But anyhow, whether it's going to be big or small company, public sector organization, maybe organization of any kind, issues management should be conducted at least at to some level in those organizations. And one of the key aspects also when we talk about issues management is advocating the organization's own position. And you saw the word advocating when we talk about this stakeholder engagement approach towards organizations. So organization has to be proactive to be able to advocate itself and get some support towards it as well. So ways to kind of conduct proper issues management could happen through these kind of programs, such as, you know, corporate advertising campaigns, different advocacy and lobbying efforts, and, like I said, stakeholder engagement approaches to kind of create this positive buzz towards the organization in a way or another. If things go to the wrong direction and the organization has to take some kind of reactive approach or some kind of reactive response to this sort of a crisis, then we talk about crisis communication or crisis management approach. And the objective of crisis communication is to kind of exert control over events and organizational activities in ways that make sure that the stakeholder and the stakeholder interests are cared for, and that the organization complies with social safety and environmental standards. So this kind of a reactive response in crisis communication refers to the fact that while a lot of crises can be prepared for in advance, it might be so that the organizations may be confronted by events that they cannot prevent or they couldn't avoid. You can see that there are listed some things, you know, natural disasters, terrorist attacks, global pandemics, and so forth. So if we think about global pandemics such as COVID, it was something that affected basically every single organization and business in the whole world, in a way or another. So these are kind of the situations where this kind of a crisis communication or crisis management approach is also important, so that the organization can still function and find its way through this crisis situation. Also, if the organization makes some kind of a mistake, whether it's related to its own performance or if, let's say, it mistreats its customers or employees. In those situations, this kind of a crisis communication approach is also very important to take in place. And as such, this is something that's very beneficial skill to have for a corporate communication professional, especially if you want to specialize in this kind of a more reactive role through the crisis communication or through crisis management approach. Then Then another specialist area of corporate communication is this leadership and change communication. And obviously leadership and change communication is both internal communication but also external communication depending on the situation. So you can see the definition here that the leadership communication refers to the ability of individuals to communicate and influence others while simultaneously being influenced by others in the implementation of a change or a specific task or a project. And why change communication is kind of related to this is that change communication actually consists of different kind of communication activities to support the formulation, implementation, and routinization of a change. For example, restructuring within an organization. And you might ask that why do we need such a thing or such a skill as change communication? And one of the reasons is typically that internally in organizations, changes could be less wanted, and usually when a change happens, there is often some opposition, let's say, from the employees, because it's going to be a bit different in the future when they work in that same organization, and if they have been used to certain things in that organization, the way things have worked in the past, and if they are, you know, satisfied with that, and if there's going to be some kind of a change, it might be so that they don't like it. And these are the reasons why change communication is needed. Also, externally, it's very important that these changes are also explained, let's say, to the different stakeholders. If we talk about, let's say, a listed company, it might be so that the shareholders are expecting some explanation that why there's going to be certain changes. If there's going to be some changes, let's say, in the leadership, CEO is going to be a new one in the future. For all of these reasons, this kind of a leadership and change communication is needed. And when we talk about leadership and change communication, this is not only the task of the corporate communication professionals. This has to be conducted in cooperation with the leadership group of the organization. So usually there's a, you know, some sort of a team kind of organizing this sort of communication tasks within the organization. And I would also say that working in teams applies to all of these specialist areas as well. So if it's going to be any, you know, a bit bigger company or even a smaller company, you know, there's usually a team of professionals working around these different specialist areas. And, you know, taking care of all of this by herself or by himself is not going to be easy. So that's why, you know, teamwork usually is the way to go when talking about this sort of communication efforts. CSR communication and community relations communication is obviously a very timely area or specialist area of corporate communication. So usually when we talk about CSR, I don't know, you know, there are different kind of definitions for CSR, but it usually consists of different kind of actions which do not have purely financial implications and which are demanded or expected of an organization by society at large. So they need to take into consideration the surrounding environment, including the nature, the people, you know, the country they are operating in. And usually CSR concerns the ecological and social issues quite heavily. Community relations is kind of related to this, at least to some extent, and it usually consists of the various forms of activity and communications that the companies or organizations use to establish and maintain mutually beneficial relationships with the communities in which they operate. So once again, understanding the surrounding environment, surrounding society, people and government, running it. So it comes very important to understand these issues. And especially nowadays, organizations are investing heavily on CSR and community relations communication because they, the demands towards organizations, how they act in their CSR communication, how they take into consideration the surrounding environment and people, and within that, the different kind of stakeholders, it has become more and more important. So this is one of the specialist areas, again, gaining you a great opportunity as corporate communication professionals to deal with, and, a lot of important and interesting, tasks around these topics are also, available for you if you would specialize within these areas. And then we also have investor relations, and when this kind of a CSR approach, you don't necessarily have this kind of a financial implication. Investor relations, on the other hand, goes more towards the finances and taking care of the shareholders and people who are actually investing to your organization or company. So this is a strategic management responsibility. It kind of integrates the finance, communication, marketing, and securities law of compliance to enable the most effective two-way communication between a company, the financial community, and other constituencies. And this kind of ultimately contributes to companies' securities achieving fair valuation. So in other words, it means that how the organization is able to make sure that people are ready to invest to the company, and how the organization, through its communication, can find a way to keep it stakeholders, but also the shareholders happy now and especially in the future, so that they are still willing to invest to the company or organization. And this is actually, at least from the statistic back in 2020, one of the, if not the highest paid area in the field of corporate communication. So you can actually check the Association of Investor Relations, or NIRI, NIRI report concerning this. So if you have any interest towards, investing, stock markets, if you invest by yourself, or if you just have any interest towards these kind of things, investor relations could be one of the specialist areas for you to go and focus on in the future when thinking about career in corporate communication, and if you would like to specialize in this kind of approach. So, but you should definitely check that NIRI report. It will tell you more about the why this is actually highest paid area in the field of corporate communication. And I'm going to then continue when I'm showing you the specialist fields. I'm going to show you some of the latest insights or latest research insights in the field, and it will hopefully give you a bit more perspective on different let's say, specialization skills you probably need if you want to find a successful career in corporate communication, and what are actually the the trends and also the possible, let's say, position or working tasks that you can do when you work in corporate communication field, whether it's under some specialist area or then just generally in the field of corporate communication. And I'm going to start off with a European Communication Monitor research. So this is one of those researches that has been done since 2007. So it's actually the longest running academic study exploring the field of corporate communication. And like I said, it has been conducted annually since 2007, and it is actually known as the largest transnational study on strategic communication worldwide. And in the past 15 years, what European Communication Monitor has been able to find out, or let's say achieve, is that they have been able to show us the most important priorities and challenges of corporate communication professionals. And they have listed the five main things from the past 15 years. Okay, once again, you have to take into consideration the fact that even though these five things listed here are still very important, it might be so that when we move forward, certain things might change, and let's say 15 years from now, it might be so that it's going to be completely different looking list than what it is based on the research results from the past 15 years. However, I would still argue that building and maintaining trust is going to still be very important. So this is actually rated as the most important by communication managers in Europe since 2007, and it's been identified as the most relevant issue each year since 2018, so for the past 5 or 6 years now. And I don't see any reason why building and maintaining trust shouldn't be, you know, one of the top priorities from now on as well. Linking business strategy and communication has been ranked as the number one strategic issue in the first 10 years of the European Communication Monitor, so from 2007 until 2017. And it actually experienced a drop in importance in 2019, but is now on the rise again and on the second place, actually, in this listing that the researchers have conducted. The third on the list is dealing with sustainable development and social responsibility. So this was actually initially prioritized by less than one-fifth of practitioners between 2013 and 2018, but it has been on a steady rise and among the top three issues since 2020. And like I told you, if we think about, you know, CSR communication, community relations, these things actually deals with that. So sustainable development and social responsibility. And I would see that now this is listed on the third place. It might be so that it actually goes up in the ranking when we move forward from now. Number four thing listed is dealing with the speed and volume of information flow. And this has been consistently on the agenda since 2014 with a somewhat volatile history. And it actually reflects the ongoing challenge to keep up with new technology. So once again, when we think about, and I've been talking about this in the past lectures as well, you know, the amount of information, the amount of content And especially the speed and volume of this information flow that is going on in, let's say, social media and different online platforms. You know, it's going to take some effort to be able to deal with all of that. And, you know, once again, I don't see this going away in the foreseeable future either. Then fifth on the list is using big data and or algorithms for communication. It is identified as an important strategic issue in 2016, and it is continuously assessed as highly relevant by every fourth communicator, so every, you know, 25% of the communicators in Europe since 2016. To be able to utilize big data and algorithms for communication is going to be important also in the future, obviously depending on the organization or the company. But is it going to be top five in the next, let's say, 3, 4, or even 15 years? I don't know about that. But probably something that's not going to be in the top five, let's say if we add the influence of artificial intelligence, for example, it might be so that it actually comes to this list at some point. So maybe that number five spot is in jeopardy to some extent in the foreseeable future. But this kind of gives you the perspective of the, general things that needs to be taken into consideration in the field of communication and what corporate communication professionals are most likely going to deal with now, but also in the future as well. And this is actually then something that the European Communication Monitor is also trying to do. So they want to also look in the future and what they think are the key insights and drivers of success for the next decade. Number one is to leverage the potential of advanced tech and data use. And I would say that utilizing artificial intelligence, at least to some extent, probably goes, you know, under that number one spot in terms of when we talk about advanced tech and data use as well. You know, being able to develop rare competencies and new roles for professionals, this is naturally something that is going on all the time. When technology develops, when we find new ways to communicate with each other, with organizations and between the organizations and stakeholders, you know, being able to find new roles, find ways to be competitive, you know, it's going to be important in the future as well. And I think connected to this is this kind of a reach and impact audiences in hyper-connected world. Maybe the hyper-connected is telling us obviously that even though you act locally, you have to kind of think globally. It is much more easier nowadays to be connected all around the world thanks to the development of you know, online platforms and social media. So, you know, understanding this is going to be naturally quite important in the upcoming years as well. Then maybe this kind of a more strategic management approach here is to so that the organization has to be, or the communication professionals especially, they have to be able to lead and motivate extraordinary teams. And maybe this refers to the fact that when they talk about these rare competencies and new roles, you know, being able to create these kind of teams that could take these different kind of roles, whether it's related to communication or some other field in an organization, you know, being able to do this is going to be important. And number five, and I think this is also very important, and it is connected to the fact that there is so much again, content available, especially online. The speed and the volume of information flow is such high that there is a lot of, you know, misinformation, disinformation, and also distrust created in these environments. So being able to build relationships within these environments and in these arenas where there is a lot of, you know, untrustful things going on, and being able to kind of find a way to be heard in a trustful way is going to be important in the future, and it will help the organization to build relationships with its stakeholders as well, and obviously it's going to be important skill for the corporate communication professionals as well. Then I'm going to show you the Finnish research insight from 2021. And this is the communication field in Finland. As you can see, these are all in Finnish. I'm going to translate the most important ones for you in just a little bit, so don't worry about that. But first of all, I will tell you a bit about Procom. So Procom is actually the Finnish Association of Communications Professionals, and it is an organization for corporate communication, strategic communication, marketing communication, and public relations practitioners in Finland. And, you know, it fosters the professional development of its nearly 2,700 members, and it actually promotes the value communication provides to society. And the members in Procom actually range from industry thought leaders working in strategic leadership positions of major corporations to more entry-level practitioners and entrepreneurs. And I'm going to show you two slides from Procom. And I hope that you can see the font is a bit small. But basically, the question for the 1,138 respondents who actually responded to the survey was that choose three of the most important tasks you have as a communication professionals. And you know, the top six most important tasks as a communication professional in Finland are actually listed here. And on top, there's sisällöntuotanto, so it translates to content creation. It's been considered as the most important task among all of the respondents. When they list the top three, they think are the most important ones. On the second place is strateginen osaaminen ja kokonaisuuksien johtaminen. So we can translate it to strategic knowledge and leading the whole process. So kind of being able to understand, you know, strategic planning and how to kind of lead this whole strategic package the organization is having and how to communicate it, you know, in an effortless way. I would kind of describe this task. But once again, you know, content creation, understanding strategy are the top two most important tasks the communication professionals have been recognizing. On the third place is media ja sidosryhmäsuhteet, mainehallinta. So this is media and stakeholder relations and reputation management. It's very close to this strategic knowledge and you know, leading the whole process in an organization. Internal communication is also seen as quite important. So on the fourth place, there is työyhteisöviestintä, organisaatiokulttuuri. So when I'm talking about internal communication, I'm referring to workplace communication and organizational culture on the fourth place. Also, the social media knowledge and skills has been listed here with over 20%, so 21% on the fifth place. So it's sosiaalisen median tuntemus ja osaaminen. And then on the sixth place with 19% is digital and online knowledge. As you can see, there are also a number of other things listed, ranging from being able to organize different things to brand management, employee image, development, marketing and sales, crisis communication, leading people, consulting, coaching, understanding the customer's responsibility, visual knowledge, video knowledge, audio knowledge, video skills and stuff like that, interaction, problem solving, community relations, and lobbying, analytics and measurement, research skills, then business skills and leadership skills, international relations, and then multiculturalism and diversity. Those are all the things listed here. But as you can see, a lot of different kind of tasks that, communication professionals are dealing with. Some of them that they are more likely for them to be doing. But again, if you want to specialize in certain things, this is also one of the good lists to look into that, hey, if I'm going to work within the field of corporate communication, what kind of skill set should I have? This is also a quite interesting question that the ProCom research did or asked from the respondents. So the question was that what are the skills the communication professional would like to develop more? So what are the skills that you would learn when moving forward and maybe gain in the future? And on the first place is actually, once again, the strategic knowledge and leading the whole process, and analytics and measurements and research skills. So those are the things that they would like to, develop further in the future. On the third place, there was visual knowledge, audio and video editing skills. On fourth place, coaching, and on the fifth place, change and strategic communication. And maybe the most important part here is that because this study has been conducted already in 2021, the role of artificial intelligence hasn't been yet kind of kicked in. So maybe when we talk about, maybe analytics, but especially, the visual skills, being able to video and audio edit different kind of things and stuff like that, it might be so that the artificial intelligence is going to help on that regard, at least to some extent. But maybe that, one of the things also to take into consideration is also that the things has been listed that what skills they would need more are actually those that they don't deal with that much. So let's say analytics and measurement or the research skills are listed here on the second place, but they are not the tasks that they very often do, as we can see that it's only 3% here listed as their most important task. So there's kind of a, there's interest towards analytics and measurement and doing research, but that's something they need more, they need to develop their skills on that maybe in the future so that they would be better in that regard. But once again, they are not listed as the most important tasks they are actually doing back in 2021. Yeah, once again, maybe this is something that if you think about your own professional career and you can see that some of the current corporate communication professionals are actually missing certain skills, or they need to develop themselves under these skills a bit further. This is, once again, a listing you can look at, that, hey, maybe I can already do this while I'm studying corporate communication or some other field, that maybe I can, you know, develop my strategic skills, my analytical skills, and you know, focus on audio and video editing, for example. These are the things that you can already do now while you're studying, and then maybe being more prepared when you start your career, whether it's in corporate communication or somewhere else. We can now have a little break. So it's actually, what time it is? Actually, it's 3 o'clock. So maybe we can have a 9-minute break, so we can continue, or 8 minutes now. So let's continue around 3:10, and then I'm going to show you a listing of the corporate communication studies available for you here at the university, and then I'm going to tell you some instructions concerning the exam. Okay, I think we can now continue just a little bit more in this course before wrapping it up. So I actually showed you in the previous slides, obviously some of the specialist areas listed here, and then kind of also told you something about the latest insights in the field, what are the most, you know, important insights and challenges that the corporate communication professionals are facing, and what are the most important working tasks that they need to do and accomplish while working within the field, and what are the basically the skill set they would like to develop in the future. And based on all of this, this is something we have been trying to take into consideration while planning our studies now at the JSP. So once again, if you're interested in, you know, pursuing career in corporate communication, or if you're interested, you know, take more courses within the field, this is kind of a, not a complete list, but a general overview of the courses we now offer here at the JSP when you move forward. So we are offering some of the courses in English. So for example, these corporate reputation management, communication behavior insight, and social media at the intermediate level studies are offered in English. And on MA level or at the master level studies, syventävät opinnot, we offer stakeholder relationship management, digital interaction, and for example, crisis communication management also in English. A couple of courses in Finnish as well, so social interaction at work, organizations and media and content strategy. You know, strategic communication planning and investor relations are also offered in Finnish, but overall you can get a, you know, the general picture of what courses we have available for you. And like I said, the idea here is to support you if you want to pursue your career in the field of corporate communication, but also if you're interested in different kind of, you know, skill set you would need in a certain specific areas of corporate communication. And this is to kind of support you. And yeah, let's say if you're interested in corporate reputation management course, for example, it actually introduces you an understanding of naturally reputation management and why it's you know, important as a key asset in today's business community. So you will understand and learn how to build and maintain positive image and reputation, and how organizations can actually manage reputation by addressing its stakeholders and public concerns through specific communication initiatives. So you basically understand how to build strategy, how to maintain and defend organizational reputation. Once again, very important skills in terms of corporate communication professional. Another course available for you, and this is also available in English, is the Communication Behavior Insight and Social Marketing. And this kind of combines some of the elements from the marketing while also talking about the communication and behavioral aspect of things. And, you know, this course will give you an opportunity to understand what social marketing is and how it can be applied to transform our society for better. And the special focus is on communication and how communication can be harnessed to create solutions that create value for all. So once again, very, very important one. The Finnish course, Social Interaction at Work Organizations, takes a little bit more internal approach to communication and focuses on the aspect of communication within an organization, as you can see from the name of the course. And then Media and Content Strategy, once again, a Finnish course that I'm actually a responsible teacher for, is focusing on how you create a media and content strategy for an organization. So we take a real-life example or a real-life organization, and you have a chance to plan a real content strategy for them. So that is the basic idea of the course. And many of our courses, they include individual work, but also a lot of work that can be done in small groups or teams. And that's one of the key things, once again, for a corporate communication professional, to be able to work in small groups or teams while doing corporate communication-related tasks. So it's important for you to learn that side of things as well. And on the MA level, we offer more focus again on the strategic communication side of things, so strategic communication planning course, but also how to deal with stakeholders and how to kind of manage the relationships with them, how to, you know, perform interaction in different digital platforms, how to communicate effectively there, and also how to kind of manage the crisis as well. So, for example, if we talk about crisis communication management course, it kind of helps you to understand how crises develop and how the organizations attempt to predict, manage, and mitigate the effects of crises, such as on corporate reputation. And you will learn the main elements of effective crisis communication plan, and we'll examine the main communication strategies that may be applied in various crisis situations. So this is very practically oriented course as well. I'm going to teach on the investor relations course, so we will take a more focus on let's say business side of things, but also how to deal with shareholders, how to deal within an organization or company that is publicly listed, and what regulations and certain limitations they need to deal with when interacting with stakeholders and when planning their communication. So, once again, I would say that this kind of a buffet we offer you in terms of the courses, and like I said, this is not a complete list, and you can obviously kind of apply all the minor studies, again, available at JSP and also outside the JSP as well to kind of, you know, individually develop your skills, but I would say that we hope that this kind of a course offering will help you when you pursue your career, whether it's in corporate communication or some other field. We hope that it will help you when moving forward. So I recommend you to check out the courses we offer for you, and if you have any interest to take some of the courses at the intermediate or MA level in the future, and obviously we hope that many of you will major corporate communication in the future as well. So these are the courses we will offer you in the current curriculum. Then these are going to be the very last slides I have for you guys. So within this course, we've been going through basically the whole course book. Of course, like I told you, I haven't been able to cover every single detail in these lectures, and that's not the idea, of course. So the idea for you now is it will help you to, you know, look all the lectures we have. You will have all the recordings available in Moodle, all the slides available in Moodle. But the most important thing for you when preparing for the exam is actually read the book, and I hope that you have already done that. And like I told you, there is an ebook available of the latest edition, and you will have a hard copy of 2020 edition at the library for you to guys prepare. So all the materials should be available for you pretty easily nowadays when preparing for the exam. And I think some of you have already registered in Sisu for the exam realization. If you haven't done so yet, please do that. So if you are in the Finnish course, you can enroll for the YTTP 1150 exam realization or one of them. And if you are in the English version of the course, then you will choose the YTTP 2150 exam realization. And once you have done the enrollment in SISU, you can then book the time slot for you in the exam system. Once again, remember, you can do it only 30 days or less prior to the preferred date and time of your exam. And the first time slot for the final exam is going to be in 2 weeks, so between the November 5th and November 19th. And if you need to later register, or you can already do it now, you can register for the first RESIT exam or for the second RESIT exam. The first one will be in December and the second RESIT exam in January. And once again, enroll to either exam in question in SISU first, and after that you can reserve a new time in the exam system. It should be pretty straightforward, no major issues with that. And the exam is relatively straightforward itself as well, so there will be multiple choice and statement questions for you. And due to reason of limitations in the exam system, the way it works is that the multiple choice questions are the ones you will receive 0 points if you give a wrong answer. But for the statement questions, which means that it is either yes or no, or I don't know, means that if you give a wrong answer in one of those questions, you will get minus 1 point, but if you give I don't know answer, it's going to be 0 points. So this is kind of a difference you need to understand between the different kind of questions you have in the exam. However, before each question, you will know whether it's going to be a multiple choice question and if it's going to be a statement question and if you're going to get minus points for the wrong answer. So it should be pretty clear for you once you are actually conducting the exam. And yeah, you just have to choose one answer option per question and you have 110 minutes to complete the exam. I had maybe 400 students approximately last year taking the exam, and the average time it took from them to take the exam was somewhere between 40 to 45 minutes. So 110 minutes should be more than enough for you to complete the exam. So it shouldn't be an issue at all in terms of the time limitations or stuff like that. And remember that it's not going to be an open book exam, so you can't use course book or any other electronic devices during the exam. You have to keep that in mind, and you will then receive information about the course grade via SISU system after 2 weeks have gone. So if you take the exam already on November 5th, you have to wait for 2 weeks so that we can actually confirm the results. So, and you just have to keep in mind that the exam system does not automatically and immediately notify you about the exam score. So you have to wait for that a bit, and then we will confirm the results in SISU after the exam period is over. So you should keep that in mind. And this is the point system we have. So you need to get at least half of the points, so 20 out of 40, so that you can get grade 1. And from there, you can see how the pointing works. Minimum of 24 points to get grade 2, 28 points for grade 3, 32 for grade 4, and 36 or more to get grade number 5. And that is how it's going to work when we are grading you the exam. Yeah, I think this is actually the last slide for today. If you have any questions, I'm still going to be here If not, I thank you for the course and good luck when preparing for the exam, and have a great rest of the fall.